Magen. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. May 7th, 1902. Dear Brother Magen, I have just received your draft. Thank you very much. I will turn it over to Willie, and he will see that a note is sent to the brother who has lent me the money. Willie has just returned from Healdsburg, where, with the brethren, he has been attending important council meetings. In regard to hiring money for me, never hesitate to pay as high as 5% interest. At present, very little money is coming into me from my books, and I am far behind in my payments to my workers. I feel that I must devise some way of getting money to pay them what is due them. Then there are interests connected with the Lord's cause that I am instructed to instruct others to enter into without delay. Our people are to carry the work into new territory, bearing aloft the ensign which declares our faith in the Bible as our teacher. Ministerial work, educational work, and medical missionary work are to be carried forward. Several small sanitariums are to be established in Southern California to help those who are drawn there in the hope of finding health. Instruction has been given me that now is our opportunity to reach those in the highways and also their attendants. This work is now to be done. Much more good will be accomplished by it than by work for the degraded and besotted. In this latter work, the laborers may pull some out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. But few of those who have given themselves to evil, whose lives have been spent in intemperance, ever learn to represent Christ. It is not wise to erect mammoth institutions. The Battle Creek Sanitarium was altogether too large. I have been shown that it is not by the largeness of an institution that the greatest work for souls is to be accomplished. A mammoth sanitarium requires a great many workers, but it is difficult, where so many workers are brought together, to maintain the standard of spirituality that should be maintained in the Lord's institutions. Often workers are brought in who are not spiritually minded, who do not exercise wisdom in dealing with those who, if treated wisely, would be awakened, convicted, and converted. I cannot now write as fully as I desire to on this subject, but I know that not one quarter of the work has been done in opening the Scriptures to the sick that might have been done, and that would have been done, if the workers in our sanitariums had received thorough instruction in religious lines. Where so large a number of workers are gathered in one place, management of a much higher spiritual grade is needed than has yet been seen in the Battle Creek Sanitarium. If that institution had been situated in the country, where it could have been surrounded by gardens and orchards, where the sick could have looked upon the beautiful things of nature, the flowers of the field, and the fruit trees, laden with their rich treasures, how much more good would have been accomplished? As patients and visitors were given lessons from nature's great lesson book, how many diseased minds would have become healthy, and how much better prepared the suffering bodies would have been to receive benefit from the ministrations of a Christian physician who believes in the power of the one who gave his life for the life of the world. Those who have unquestioning faith in Christ's power to heal both soul and body will see, in physical, mental, and spiritual restoration, the evidence of his miracle-working power. All things will be done for those who believe. I am instructed to instruct others that unbelief and self-sufficiency are the dangers against which those connected with our sanitariums must guard. The workers in these institutions are to carry forward the warfare against evil with such earnestness and devotion that the sick will feel the uplifting influence of their unselfish efforts. And in the efforts made for the restoration of the sick to health, use is to be made of the beautiful things of the Lord's creation. Seeing the flowers, plucking the right fruit from the trees, hearing the happy songs of the birds, has a peculiarly exhilarating effect on the nervous system. From out-of-door life, men, women, and children will gain the desire to be pure and guileless. By the influence of the quickening, reviving, life-giving properties of nature's great medicinal resources, the functions of the body are strengthened, the intellect awakened, the imagination quickened, the spirits enlivened. The mind is prepared to appreciate the beauties of God's Word. Why should not the young men and women who are seeking to obtain a knowledge of how to care for the sick have the advantage of nature's wonderful resources? Why should they not be taught to value and use these resources?
This should be done, and it will be done, when we as a people follow the Lord's plan in our sanitarium work, doing away with needless adornments and seeking for that which God values, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in His sight of great price. I cannot now dwell upon these things, as I should be glad to. But God helping me, I will do my utmost to show the life-giving power of sunshine and fresh air. How much better it is for the sick to be in the open air than within four walls, decorated though these walls may be with many pictures. The great medical institutions in our cities, called sanitariums, do not accomplish 1/50th part of the good they might, were they located where the patients could have advantages provided by out-of-door life. Sanitariums are to be established in many places in the country. This is the light given me, and purity and health will be the result of following this light. In Southern California, there are many properties for sale on which are buildings suitable for sanitarium work. Some of these properties should be purchased and medical missionary work carried forward on sensible, rational lines. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4, verse 35-38. Those whose business it is to labor for souls as they that must give an account must keep themselves free from worldly policy plans. They must not, for the sake of obtaining the influence of someone, become entangled in plans dishonoring to their profession of faith. They must not sell their souls for financial advantage. They must do nothing that will retard the work of God and lower the standard of righteousness. We are God's servants, and we are to be workers together with Him, doing His work in His way, that all for whom we labor, whether in school work or sanitarium work, may see that our one desire is to reach a higher standard of holiness. Those with whom we come in contact are to see that we do not only talk of self-denial and self-sacrifice, but that we reveal them in our lives. Our example is to inspire those newly come to the faith with an earnest desire to become better acquainted with the things of eternity. There is to be no taint of self-seeking in our service. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. Lift him up, the man of Calvary. Lift him up by living faith in God, that your prayers may prevail. Do we realize how near Jesus will come to us? He is speaking to us individually. He will reveal himself to every one who is willing to be clothed with the robe of his righteousness. He declares, I am he that holdeth thy right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Let us place ourselves where he can hold us by the hand, where we can hear him saying with assurance and authority, I am he that liveth and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore. Revelation 1, verse 18.